Welcome to Entrepreneurs of Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I am super excited to have here because I now can say I've had all three Harbaughs on the podcast, the Playbook. Steve Harbaugh, welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you have so much I want to talk about. Number one, I've been to Xumo many times, and a lot of people, it's a hidden gem. And I have so many lessons that I'd like to explore when it comes to real estate development, what you're doing down there in Xumo, and also understanding something that's important to me is impact, because your mission seems to have evolved from when you were in the United States, and comparatively now being down in the Bahamas, there is a lot of different things you can do to help people.
Absolutely.
With my favorite asset class, which is real estate. And luxury real estate, resort real estate seems to have a different frequency. Why did you choose Xumo to have all these amazing luxury villas and real estate development opportunities for people to explore the Bahamas?
So this, I didn't know how, 2 years ago, didn't know how to pronounce Xumo. And I was a builder.
I could see it in his face when he asked me, so what are, you know, I say stuff about Xumo, like, yeah, dude, I've been there.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Wow.
You know how to pronounce it and you've been there? That's good stuff.
That's good. So I don't have to sell you, right?
Right. So yeah, I'm sold.
I was a home builder.
I'm waiting for my prospectus.
It's coming. So I built about 200 homes in Stone Harbor, New Jersey. I was kind of the cool guy. It was a vacation area. And we needed a break, right? You know, we had some stuff going on, family. We lost, you know, my mom and all that. I said, let's just get out of here. Let's go down to this Xumo. I keep seeing it pop up on Instagram. And I told my wife, we flew in. About 24 hours, we instantly fell in love with the island.
Once you saw the water flying in, right?
It's unbelievable.
It's and breathtaking.
I always think it's funny. Now I say, sit on the left side. And I swear that plane like tilts because everyone's out,
you
know,
taking pictures
of all the islands going down. So, but it's absolutely beautiful. They're 2 hours. I'm on a dock. I run a boat from this guy, Rodney Burrows. And I said, hey, what's real estate like around here? He's like, well, it's good. You can't really find anything. And I said, well, how do you know? He said, well, I'm a builder. And he was renting me this boat for $250. It was a Boston Whaler. But he was basically retired, had a great boat business. And he actually developed 13 of those private islands going in. They did David Copperfield's island, all these.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, this guy's a builder. So we started comparing. And then we went to this hotel called Kahari on another island. Fell in love with it, found out that they might be building next door. This all started, I just wanted one of the little lots, and it turned into, you know, really an opportunity of a lifetime for a real estate developer.
So in Baymani, there's this huge opportunity, but what makes it interesting, since this is the playbook to entrepreneurs, is there's a difference in the way people perceive things as far as opportunities, options, and touches of favor. There's probably hundreds of people like you, including me, that flew down there. And my friend is a developer down there, as you know,
yes.
That didn't see the opportunity. They didn't see what they were given. What do you think it is in your own business acumen that can take, maybe I'll buy a lot down here because this is a good vacation spot, to being, you know, one of the most successful developers down there?
So the stars aligned, right? So when I first got there, I said to my wife, I said, and this is all the mindset, I said, I'd love to build here, but it can never happen. How do you get power? How do you get electric? How do you get, you know, water and all this? And I met Rodney. All those unknowns were answered. And he said, hey, if you get a bad day, cloudy day, I'll take you on some job sites. So only vacation, I prayed for rain. He takes me around. I loved it. And then I went to the front desk and I said, this is really what made me do it. Was I heard there's some land next door. I said, yeah, this guy, Gary, owns it. I said, well, where is he from? Philadelphia.
Nice.
He lived 32 minutes from my house. So now I've got the builder. I've got this guy. A little tough in the beginning, but it took me 9 months going back and forth to his house. I showed him what I did in Stone Harbor. So I'm like, you really need to take that serious, right? You've got the best builder. And you've got this guy that's willing to sell it, can't do it.
Yeah.
But it took a commitment. Like, we moved joyfully out of New Jersey, right? We went down. We live in South Florida now, and I'm 45 minutes over there. So it's awesome. And what I found, like, being a developer in the United States, you're this bad guy. But 70% of their GDP down there is tourism. So you're welcomed, right? Mm. So there's a balance. I made that builder. He's now a partner in the project, you know. And we talk about it all the time. We were walking by this guy, this carpenter, and I was doing the dock shack. He's painting it, building the bar. And he said, "Hey, I love you. I watch you on TikTok and Instagram." He goes, "Do you know how I got here?" I said, "I don't know, boat, plane?" He goes, "No." He goes, "I reached out to you and I told you I was a carpenter and you gave me Rodney Burrow's number and now I have a job." So it's really cool that you're starting to see, the impact. So I love it. It's just a, again, project of a lifetime.
And in these different types of projects, there has to be distinctions between the islands, between luxury resorts, in order to attract enough people, tourists especially. What were some of the criteria that you looked at to say, this is different than other islands, or this is where I want to invest and build? There had to be a few distinctions in Exuma comparatively to all the other islands you could have built in.
100%. And it's the absolute beauty of the area.
I'll attest to that.
And for me, when you go away, it's a mind reset. You really get your all this beautiful stuff around you, and it's a reset. So you're really like taking, what about your life, right? It's like I met this guy, he was on a sandbar, and I thought he was gonna talk about real estate. But he's like, "Man, I'm 50, right? And I'm re-looking at what really matters. I only have maybe 30 years left, right?" But you think clear there. We call it, our slogan is disappearing from the world. Like that island, I felt that sense of awe when I was there. Cell phones didn't work that well. The internet was spotty, and I like that. So it's like a reconnection. The resort's great, but 95% of your pictures when you leave, are going to be of all the sandbars and the beautiful water. So it is very good for the mind.
And in that reset of mindset, there has to still be the economics of it. And where were the biggest risks as you were analyzing it? You built some incredible places in America, and you know the timing and risk tolerance analysis that's necessary in order to start building. There had to be, even though you knew those people, there had to be some bigger risks than you building in Philly or New
Yes.
Jersey.
And I'm still going through it mentally because everyone says, you want to turn $1 million into 500,000, go down the Bahamas, right? And I'm like,
I've
what?
actually,
I'm like, I got a lot more than that in there.
I built a golf course in Amherst, and people told me, "Dude, you do not want to build your own golf course. Be the third owner of a golf course, and you may have a chance to make money."
Oh yeah, exactly.
Electricity and water, they're expensive everywhere.
But the formula's working. I mean, it's not perfect, but I have the right system. I've got the right builder. I got a heck of a marketing team to attract the buyers. And it's not easy, but it's not impossible, to do work there. I mean, it's definitely challenging bringing, the materials in. But the proof is in the pudding. Like, I have other developers. I was just there last week, and they said, "Look, man, I got to take you to breakfast." It's like, how are you doing what you're doing? Because the formula is perfect. I had a flexible seller, Rodney Burrows. I mean, he built, again, David Copperfield's island. He's done Bernard Arnold, Louis Vuitton's island. So he gets it. He
And the
logistics.
building and those guys are important for the infrastructure
Oh yeah.
more
Oh
than
yeah.
the
Just getting
build.
sand and stone,
Crazy.
and they're mixing concrete by hand, because we're an island off of an island. So it has been challenging. But I will say this, like, anywhere you get stressed, like if I get a job, say in New Jersey, and something goes wrong, you're looking at New Jersey water. And I just did it the other day. We had something with the roof, and I'm like, "Steve, turn around." I looked, it's just beautiful. And it's just, it just relaxes. It's a great place to develop. I mean, it really is.
It does make a difference in the development that I've done and the investing that I've done, especially on the boardwalk in San Diego, for example. In those stressful moments would come in any time you're developing, whenever you have inspectors
Oh,
and
yeah.
filings and people and contractors.
Here's a funny story about the inspector. He's on the mainland, which there's no boat to go over and inspect. So
Oh
he's been
no.
there once in 6 months. But I have a reputable builder. He trusts him. He takes
Right.
pictures. But it's so funny.
So it's either in the Coastal Commission in San Diego. Exactly. But I remember the same thing. I was like, yeah, but when I walk outside, there's nothing between me and that, looking at the Pacific Ocean
Oh,
and
it's just the best.
the sandy
Something
San
about the
Diego
water.
beaches. And it is. There's a certain energy down in Exuma as well. Looking at business in a marketing aspect, I do a lot with resorts and golf and podcasts and Punta Mita and Curaçao and different areas in which I work. But it's difficult to market when you're not in North America to, I assume, Americans.
Correct.
Although there's probably some international influence as well, but you can't market everywhere. How did you find the right people, I assume, to help market that area? Because I would believe that nothing sells itself, but getting someone to be aware of it is the hardest challenge.
Big time. So when I built those 200 homes in Stone Harbor, I never advertised once.
Yeah,
I personally wanted to sell every one of them, and I did a lot of little videos that were educational. So I wanted to take that to another level. I had a social media guy, Chad, had a videographer, Jake, and then Blake's been incredible with brand strategy.
Yeah, Jake and Blake, it's a good team.
It's a great team. And I was, and I'll tell them all the time, I said, let's try this. I don't know if it's going to work. We got a $1.1 million one-year budget from an advertising company out of Florida. I'm like, we're not doing that. Let me just hire our guys. You know, because she's there, she's older, and she's turning the meetings, you know, turning into the 27-year-old to see what we're going to do. So we did it. And we targeted ads. It started to click. And I, beyond my wildest dream, would never believe that it would be that effective. Last week, I sold $2.3 million villa and spent all week with them, showed them the sandbar, everything that you know. How'd you hear about us? TikTok.
TikTok.
Second one on TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah. My daughter goes on TikTok. Not a guy that's worth, you know, that wants to go down there, but it's just crazy. But we have fun with it. We educate. We talk about investing in the videos, right?
Yeah.
About the income and things like that. So it's just a whole different world with
I'm sure now too, as my wife does all of our real estate, and we start talking about golf course investment, resort investment. Now that we're talking about that, it's going to pop up on our TikTok. So you know, we can buy down there in Zuma, which is better than the other. Now, other challenges just in life. So when you're from the Northeast, you're a Jersey Philly guy,
yep.
I assume somewhere close to Cherry Hill you're living.
Absolutely. Look at you. You're
exactly.
Great, man.
And and I've been to your project there as well. And you live in South Florida, which is by itself completely different.
Oh, yeah.
But you are commuting 45 minutes back and forth to Exuma. There's an energy shift. I go through a lot because I'm in 200 cities.
Yep.
And so I'll do something like this, and then I'm in a completely different energy. As much as it's beneficial to be able to, when things get at dis-ease, I call it, to get back to ease is quite easy when you're down there. There are other attributes in this lifestyle that create conflict or interferences. What are some of the personal things that maybe you talk about on TikTok or Instagram as a personal challenge to what you've done to your lifestyle, being away from family, whatever it may be?
And that is, like, biggest is uprooting my entire family. I have a 12-year-old, 10, and 8, right? So my 12-year-old struggling with a new school in Fort Lauderdale area, right?
So, thank you for your vulnerability, by the way.
Yep.
I have 4 kids. And it's like, I tell people I screwed this up and I just made it challenging.
And that's been tough for her, right? Just because mommy and daddy and the little sister and brother are okay with it, you know, but, you know, she's not okay with it.
Yeah.
And just because we say be okay with it, it's not. So it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And
that's a tough age to move.
Oh, it's tough. You know, she's turning 12. She, you know, we lost my mom last year. You know, she was real close with her. And then, you know, she's in this new school, right? So it's like.
Remember, because I'll just tell you, because I have older kids now, there's 3 stages of parenthood. One is the idolization stage, which your other 2 kids are in the idolization stage. 11 or 12 for girls, a little bit later for boys, it's called the demonization stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they get to the age of my kids, you get back to humanization stage, which is really nice.
And what age is that?
Yeah, 22, 24, depending on how much and how good of a parent you are.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I'd say this, like my dad.
And this is stuff people really want to know when it comes to the playbook to be an entrepreneur. Like, they'll watch your videos, figure out investment. You're a great expert in your subject matter and topic, which I highly suggest everyone with the books, the content, follow Steve. But what people really want to know is, like, man, it's not as easy as
it's not. It's not, you know, so there's a balance. And what I do, and it's just this simple, it's so funny. My brother and I start now.
Jim.
Not George. George.
I had to go.
Yeah. So
another Harbaugh.
Yep. So we ended up, like in my 20s, my brother and I weren't doing well, like just maybe because we weren't on drugs or in jail. One of my dad's friends said, how did Steve and Jeff turn out so well? And then we weren't, like we were just, I maybe started flipping houses with my brother. And how did they turn out so well? And he said one thing. He said, I spent time with them. Yeah. And I'll never forget that. And what does that mean with my daughter, her struggling, right? Like you talk about how do you balance that? It might be just driving her to cheer. It's a 30-minute drive. Put the phones on the dash,
yeah,
and let's just talk. She'll fight you for, you know, 30, 60 seconds. But it, you know what, Dad? Guess what this happened? I'm like, ooh, who's this, right? Just because it's simple. She likes Outback Steakhouse. I take her to Outback Steakhouse once in a while. So it's, but it is. It's really a challenge.
It's funny, as a parent, you know, my mom raised six kids on their own, and my siblings all went to the Ivy Leagues, Harvard, Penn, Columbia. And people would ask her the same question, like, what did you teach your kids that they're all, and she always said, none of my kids were taught anything. They caught it all. I woke up, I worked two jobs, I packed their dinner in a paper bag. I filled up turnstiles at convenience stores after I taught the second grade. I told them, you have to do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. And you're either going to be a doctor, or a lawyer, or a failure.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Luckily, when my mom passed, I told her, you know, I did it, Mom.
That's awesome.
The last conversation. I'm a doctor, a lawyer, and a failure.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm proud of you, especially being a failure. Speaking of failure, big part of all business, but especially real estate, is dealing with it.
Yes.
If I always tell people, if you don't have a desire that you must be what you can be, you're not going to make it. What's your perspective of failure? How do you deal with it? You have a mindset about it.
So 2008. In the spring, gives you heartburn every time you say it.
You're a real estate guy.
In 2008, I ended up going to this beach town of Stone Harbor, and I had a guy, spring of 08, before it went down, bought a lot for $750,000. We're going to build a house for $750,000, sell for $2.1 million, net $2 million, split $500,000, life was good. September hits, boom. Devastated, right? Couldn't make the payments. And I talk about this all the time, but I had my mindset that I was going to build there, come hell or high water. And summer hits, house is done. The rental market was still strong, so we rented it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was devastated. Like, we were trying to make payments, so the rents helped. And all of a sudden, it took about a year, somebody came and said, we love the house, but we don't want to buy it. Can you build this on our lot? We're going to tear our house down. Can you build it on that? And I said, I guess I could, but couldn't we add another bedroom and change the roof line? So I went back to the architect, I adapted it, and I'm like, okay, I did one at a 20%, then another one, and I'm like, I guess I'm a custom home builder. I don't know what that means, but I'm a custom home builder now, right?
That's so cool.
And then, like 3 years into it, we got out of it, a guy came in, market started to get a little bit better, then we got back into specs, which was good. But I think that focus, that drive, even though it's not planned, you got to bob and weave, and that was the worst time. I'll tell you another story. I had a storage facility then, my first one that I ever built, and my taxes were behind, $32,000. I'm in a bathroom at a restaurant, and four urinals down was the mayor. Steve, I want to invite you to something next week. I said, what's that? He says, a tax sale, and you're in it.
Oh,
and I'm
shit.
Like, right? So I had to go back. I mean, that was like the lowest part.
In there,
right? Right? So I went to the bank at a 7.5% mortgage. I said, look, I can't pay this. They reduced it to 5% interest only, freed up $60,000, right? I was able to pay the taxes off, go to the bathroom in peace.
Right.
But that was probably the lowest, you know, time. But a lot of people bid it back then. But you just keep plowing through. You just keep plowing through.
Walking to the table to your wife.
I wasn't even married
then. What happened? They weren't. No. God, I was going to say, if I'm in the bathroom, meet the mayor, and he tells me I'm invited to my own tax sale.
Oh, yeah.
But like, and my wife would have looked at my face when I walked back to the bathroom. When I was a young married guy, I wasn't telling my wife this yet that I was going through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You don't. You hold it in.
Now I've learned to tell my wife everything.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
And hopefully she'll be the same. Last question. We talk about balance. You have kids. You're married. You have these businesses that have a lot of different activities within them. But I see people like you having a harmony in life now, not balance. Number one, do you believe in balance? And two, if you don't believe in balance, do you believe in harmony? And three, if you believe in harmony, how do you create harmony in your life?
All right, explain harmony versus balance.
Balance would be, I'm going to have this much with my family, this much time. I balance my time. Harmony is, I spend good quality time with my kids, but I spend right now, because I'm doing this project an exorbitant amount of time, it's not balanced between the two, but it's harmonized so everybody's happy and fulfilled.
I would say this. It seems as though I'm busy, but I go biweekly, believe it or not. And I'll purposely go from Tuesday to Thursday so I don't miss any sports with the kids. And I plan it. And it's funny because when you go down, you can only do so much while you're there. You're checking on a project. I get stressed out and I leave and I go back to Florida and I come plant. So there is a really good balance with the time. I was in a good spot before I did this. Like I had things set. And you know how it is. Like you push everything back out. But which allowed me to, I spend a lot of time with my kids. You know, I take the summers off. We're getting ready to do it this year. So but that's because you only get, as you know, 18 of them. And then when they're gone, they're gone. And it's, you know, but I think we're doing a good job with the balancing of the time. And I never was that person that tried to miss games or not be there. Cause that's why I got married in the first place. That's why I wanted to do all this. There's nothing to do with the money.
I'm with you.
The freedom.
If my kids would only knew how many private flights that, because I am committed to being at those games, how much being a fan of cheerleading.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And little.
Is that what they do? Cheer?
They did.
Competition they did. Cheer?
Or? Oh yeah. Yeah, it was more than college. And they were pretty good. I finally found a body type mine that works well. I should have been a cheerleader instead of a college football player. I fit in much better. Gymnast than I am, a defensive back. Anyway, great lessons. Thank you for your vulnerability as well. I would definitely follow Steve Harbaugh and check out Exuma and his project down there. It's Baymani.
You did it great the first time. That's
I know. Flying is so
not faster. Too many people do that. That's great.
I've been there. I love, an actual testimony. If I was investing, I'm looking for his prospectus because I'm going to look into it because I wanted a smaller, more affordable project that I can invest in and spend time with. And
my goal is to have you back doing this, but water behind us in palm trees.
Done deal. You heard it here first. This is Steve Harbaugh. I'm Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.